You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Pete Schwabber, Pete Schwabber. He's a hell of a guy on the radio every night, keeping spirits high, that old Pete Schwabber. He's got a showman smile. Tune in on the dial. He'll keep you for a while.
Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. That is my new theme song created by Mike Desitel, who
it's on
this,
good. You know,
it's AI.
It's jamming.
He just did AI, and this is what he says. He says, I wrote the song for the most part, making sure to put your name in twice in a row, which makes it funny to me.
Beach Mama.
Added a few radio details. Oh, next time you guys come back, if you could acousticize that would be great.
Oh, game on.
He says, challenge accepted.
I added a few radio details, then a skeleton outline of the movie, The Godfather of Green Bay, being sure to include the double negative detail. That's I get heckled by Tony Goldwyn's character, and I make fun of him for using a double negative. And then Mike says, I ran that through AI, and it spit out a pretty good set of lyrics. I tweaked it a little bit and then sent it to another AI source for recording that AI retweaked my retweaking and came up with the song. The music AI allows you to choose various genres. Wow. The effort, even though it was AI. Thank you, Mike. That
I'm
was really
impressed.
Fun. Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool.
Oh, we're going to get a lot of mileage out of that. I'm going to lose a lot of listeners over the next few months because we are playing
catchy.
The
it's
crap out of
already.
That thing.
It's in my head.
I'm living rent-free in Kim's head. I love it. On Stage for Cancer is here, folks. If you missed the last segment, we're talking about they made the popcorn pick of the week, which was fun. We read some texts. Our question of the night is, what celebrity passing would make you the most sad? And that was inspired by George Wendt's passing because he brought so much laughter to lives.
Norm.
And we will continue to read those texts as the show progresses. But right now we have a little while longer here with our pals on Stage for Cancer, sometimes known as Doctors in Recital, but you have this great event dependent, but you have this great event coming up. Serenades for Supper, and all the proceeds go to, I would assume, fighting cancer.
Yeah, so our cancer thrivers in our community that are either in the music industry, artists, or people who are small business workers, employers, this concept really arose from our knowing people who just were in that area. And when you get cancer and you have to fight cancer and you're ready to go to all your appointments, and now you realize you can't do your side gigs, and you don't have that traditional backup plan the traditional family medical leave and those kind of things. So we created this nonprofit to help those people out. And because we're musicians and we're friends with many musicians in the community, we decided to put on an event. Last year had a great result at the Winer. This year we decided to do the dinner and a show and something a little bit different but fun, and we're excited.
Chris, I love it.
Chris has a great show of a lot of variety, and everything's tied to food or drink, so it's pretty creative, and you will never see another thing like it.
It sounds like an extravaganza, and I don't use that word lightly, but it's more information, go to onstage, the number 4 cancer, onstage4cancer.org. Ticket packages, dinner, drinks, silent auction, live auction, July 31st. It sounds like a phenomenal. And if you like what these guys do in here when they come on the show and how great they sound, there's just more of that at this event. And it's a steal as far as I'm concerned. And it goes to a good cause, too.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And who doesn't want broasted chicken? I mean,
sign me up.
Right.
$62.50 for broasted chicken. Where do I sign?
And one of a kind entertainment.
We love you,
one
too, vegetarians.
We do.
I'm sure there'll be a salad there somewhere.
We do.
Can you guys sing something else for us? I love when you guys sing.
Sure.
Slow it down and get schmaltzy.
A little romance.
A little slow dance music.
These two are going to get romantic.
Oh, sweet. Boy.
Oh, boy.
Conrad, start the camera.
It's amazing how you can speak right to my heart without saying You can light up the dark. Try as I may, I could never explain what I hear when you don't say a thing. The smile on your face lets me know that you need me. There's a truth in your eyes saying you'll never leave me. The touch of your hand says you'll catch me if ever I fall. You say it best when you say nothing at all. All day long I can hear people talking out loud. But when you hold me near, you drown out the crowd. Oh, Mr. Webster could never define what's being said between your heart and mine. The smile on your face lets me know that you need me. There's a truth in your eyes saying you'll never leave me. The touch of your hand says you'll catch me if ever I fall. You say it best when you say nothing at all. The smile on your face lets me know that you need me. There's a truth in your eyes saying touch of your hand says you'll catch me if ever I fall. Now you say it best when you say nothing at all. Oh,
I like that little. That was a very nice song. What is that song? Who's?
It's old.
Is it?
I don't know who originally did it. Alison Krauss in Union Station.
Oh, that totally sounds like Alison Krauss. Wow,
but
that's
I don't
great.
Know. Let's ask Mr. Google who originally.
Do you guys like? What do you get really excited to play at an event like this, or even coming into a show like this? What kind? Do you have a specific music that really gets you excited to sing?
I like singing with the band. Which is why it's so exciting that the Power Tool Horns are joining us, because then I get to sing 9 to 5 with them, and it's way fun. It's so much fun to have like horns blasting, like bam.
You sent me videos of you singing Mamma Mia, and it was
Mamma Mia. That was fun.
That was great.
That was fun because it was these, you know, fancy piano players playing Mamma Mia on the piano. And then I come out wearing my ridiculous polyester outfit.
It was fantastic.
Oh, you had a blast with it, though. You totally got into it.
Yeah, that was actually really fun.
So, all right. So this is the kind of stuff they can hear there. And some uptime. You're going to do Margaritaville at the event on the 31st. Okay. And when can people start getting tickets for Doctors and Recital? Does that just sell out more and more every year? Or do you get more people every year?
Yeah. So Doctors and Recital is my other nonprofit hat.
Yeah.
And our show is in January, which is why the two are very separate, so I can still do them both. So the end of January is our show. We usually start selling tickets in October, but because all of our tickets are on sale through the Widener, it's basically when they tell us we can turn them on. So we'll probably start selling tickets September, October.
This is at the Riverside Ballroom.
This is at the
That'll
Riverside.
That'll be really fun.
Ballroom.
Yes, yeah. We're very excited.
What is
about
the capacity there? Is it?
Well, our seated tables, we're going to have just over 250. And we're going to have live stream, so people can also stream for, you know, you don't get the chicken, you don't get the live ambiance and the live painting and all the fun stuff. But we'll have lots of ways for people to continue to enjoy our events. So
yeah, you can make excited. A hot pocket at home and just watch it.
You could sit on your couch and fall asleep with your wife.
That's right. True. But you won't have the opportunity to participate in the wine pull.
No,
right.
No wine pull.
You,
no.
You can't buy the painting.
Mm-hmm. I know. No, that sounds like a great event. Check it out, folks. Onstageforcancer.org. It's onstage, the number 4, cancer.org. Can we get one more song out of you guys before we move on here? What do you got for us?
Well, James Taylor.
How about a little... Should we try a little James?
Yeah, whatever. Whatever you guys... Oh, but never played a bad song
when
in
you say
show,
nothing
so.
At all. Keith Whitley.
Keith Whitley.
That's the song?
That's who
country,
originally
country
released it.
He's
yep.
an old...
Oh, yeah.
He's like an 80s country singer.
I remember that name, day. Sure.
I would never
beautiful
have guessed.
Song.
In 1988, and then Alison Krauss and Union Station covered it 6 years later as a tribute to him on a tribute
oh,
album.
I love it. If we just play, too, if we run out of time, we'll just let them play us out, right? We'll come back and read some texts, and thank you guys for being here. And if you finish before the break, that's fine, too. We can talk all some right. more. But it's On Stage for Cancer, Kim Shevchik, Paul, and Chris Piat. Great to have you guys here.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks.
In my mind, I'm going to Carolina. Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Ain't it just like a friend of mine to hit me from behind? Yes, I'm going to Carolina in my mind. Now Karen, she's a silver sun. You best walk away and watch it shine. Watch her watch the morning come. A silver tear appearing now. I'm crying, ain't I? Gone to Carolina in my mind. There ain't no doubt in no one's mind that love's the finest thing around. Whisper something warm and kind. And hey, baby, the sky's on fire. I'm dying, ain't I? Going to Carolina in my mind. In my mind, I'm going to Carolina. Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Ain't it just like a friend of mine to hit me from behind? Yes, I'm going to Carolina in my mind. Now, dark and silent late last night, I think I might have heard the highway call me. Geese in flight and dogs that bite. Signs that might be omens say I'm going to Carolina in my mind. With a holy host of others standing round me, still I'm on the dark side of the moon. It seems like it goes on like this forever. You must forgive me.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It's a Thursday night edition of Nightlight. I am Pete Schwab. Great to have you with me. And, it's not like a phenomenon, I would say, but I love days when it gets warmer as the day goes on, or even at night. Like, I was out with my daughter last night just hitting some stores when I got back to Marinette, and it was like warmer at night than it was during the day. It doesn't happen that often.
Yeah, you know, it kind of felt like that today a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still a little chilly.
Well,
I'm wearing a sweatshirt and jeans,
totally.
And it's May. Like, that's usually when I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's just a sign of hopefully good weekend weather. What celebrity passing would make you the most sad? That is our question of the night here at Nightlight. Let's get through some text. We're a little bit behind. On social media, Monica Hale says, Trevor Noah, because he had a challenging upbringing and has endured a lot, but has used his fame to call attention to the struggles of those less fortunate and to advocate for human rights. And he does it all while being funny. I have to be honest, I don't know much about Trevor Noah. I kind of like, I watched The Daily Show when it started, like back when Craig Kilborn hosted it. And then Jon Stewart for a while. And then I don't know. It's still a good show. I just don't, sometimes you just get sick of something. Even though it's funny, well-written. And Trevor Noah was great too. It was one of those things where Stewart was kind of a hard host to replace because he has such avid fans. But Trevor Noah stepped in and by all accounts was excellent. Thank you, Monica. Who is yours again, Conrad?
Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler, that's right. And mine was Bruce Springsteen. Okay. Annie from Watertown. Oh, Annie is not happy with us tonight. She says, Pete Schwabba, capital OMG. What a horrid question.
Well,
it's a little morbid. Kind of, but, yeah. we're celebrating their lives by saying we don't want them to pass away, Annie. We'd be sad. So you see how I backed into that and made that a positive? Annie says, really bad question. This is a separate text. Really bad question of the day, even if not a funeral day. I don't know if I understand that part.
Maybe.
She does not like the question.
She does not like the
And you know
the
what?
Question.
They can't all be winners. We can't bat 1,000, Annie, but it's still nice to hear from you either way. Anna from Madison, she's in the 608, says, hi, Pete and Conrad. The celebrity passing that would make me sad is Ringo Starr. Yeah. Well, there's two Beatles left, actually, but Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr, that would leave one Beatle. And they're not going to be around forever. I think both those guys are in their 80s. So, but a great one. Thank you, Anna. Jim from Stoughton says, Bill Murray. Yeah. Such a funny dude. Loved him in Meatballs. Loved him in Meatballs. Jim, he's great in everything. Even when he's more of a serious, even if the role is more serious. Bill Murray is just a phenomenal actor. And he's funny even when he's not trying to be because he's such a good actor. He brings humor to roles that are more serious because he's Bill Murray. Lost in Translation. He was great. I mean, he's really good and everything, but that's one that, to me, took him to another level. Susan, Terry from, where is Terry? Is that her last name or is that the town? That's her last name, correct? Well, either way, Terry is texting us.
Yes.
T-E-R-I. She spells it like Terry Barr.
Terry Ryan.
Terry Ryan. There is a Terry Ryan, a famous Terry Ryan, too. She says Carol Burnett, another great one. And Carol Burnett is getting up there, too. She's no spring chicken. So I don't want... Now I'm making it worse. I'm saying, oh, she's really getting up there. You're going to be sad very soon. I don't mean to say that. But Terry is in the 414, and she says Carol Burnett. Thank you, Terry. She's listening on WAUK. A fine outfit. Jameson from Pennsylvania, he's in the 814. He says, has to be Anthony Hopkins. And musically, Billy Joel. Second Billy Joel. Rich LoCascio said Billy Joel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a sad one. But nobody's really going younger here. I mean, older people are more likely to pass away, but I'm just saying. Ed from Madison says Mel Brooks. Wait a minute. This is terrible, but I think Mel Brooks already passed away. I'm going to the Google. No, he is 98. Wow. That's a great one. All right. Well done. I thought Mel Brooks had passed away. Thank you, Ed. Mel Brooks is a genius, comedic genius. Brian from Milwaukee. Oh, I already read that one. That was lube related. We'll steer clear of that one. Tom in West Allis says Patrick Stewart. Okay, wow. Really great variety here in these texts. Love it. Thank you, everybody, for your texts and calls. Did we ever get the phone situation figured out, Conrad?
No.
Really? Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says Jerry Mathers as the Beaver. He did play the Beaver, but is that, I think that's, that could be a detective question from a few days ago. Thank you, Tyler. This is, tomorrow is road trip day.
It is.
And we're not really going to get to do anything about road trip because that would be a fun question.
Yeah, I'm not making any road trips really this, for this, you know, this Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere either. I like but a good road trip.
I really, I hope I road trip up to Door County soon. All this talk that we've had about Door County makes me want to go there.
What was it that put you over the top? There was a film festival there recently. There's an art fair there. We had
You know, it's, Shane on. It's not about any of the events or anything. It's just getting up there, enjoying the scenery, exploring something I didn't see last time.
Got you thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful area. I love it. I have not been there. We usually, for a while, we were going in the spring because, like, all of our spring breaks didn't align. So one year we went to Florida, but, like, Door County's so cheap in the spring.
Yeah.
And we would go there. It's phenomenal.
You just drive, you know? It's not that far away.
Yeah. Close beauty. All right. My thanks to Cure for Cancer, also known as Doctors in Recital, after a very short news break here, where Civic Media's news team will keep you informed. We are coming back with Milwaukee-based director, producer, cinematographer, and professor Tate Bunker. He has done some great work, and we're going to talk about it next. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. On Nightlight, we have a show put together. It is an original show. It will not be live. I had to take a night off for to attend some friend stuff, which my weekend will be a little longer, so I'm excited about that. I'll see some friends and family this weekend, which will be fun. But we do have a show. We won't be live, so there will be no question of the night. But we've got a lot of fun stuff happening. Emerson Lehman will be here from WBAY. He is one of the morning anchors there. Always fun when Emerson comes in. Director Michael Collins will be on the show talking about his film Almost Sunrise, which is my classic movie pick of the week, just in time for Memorial Day. And then the latest member of the WGBW Civic Media team, Eliza Cusson, will be here. And it's still a bar band Friday night. Terry Barr, co-host of Max Inc. Radio, will be here bringing new, most excellent tunes and great conversation. That's all coming up tomorrow night on Nightlight. Hope you guys have a great weekend. We do have some show left and a great guest. I'm very excited to have this gentleman on the show. He's an extremely talented cinematographer, director, producer. He's Milwaukee-based. He also teaches film at UWM. Unless something happened since we last spoke. I hope he still has that gig. But he joins us now over the stream here on Nightlight. Tate Bunker, hey, buddy.
Hey, how's it going, Pete?
Good, how are you? Doing?
Good. You can hear me?
I can hear you fine. You sound great.
Great.
You look great. You look like an actor, and that's you got that going for you, even though you're behind the camera.
I appreciate it.
You got it. So I haven't spoken with you in a while. I know I've interviewed you, I think, on PBS and maybe on the radio. I don't know if I've interviewed you on the radio, but you made this great film called The Field, and we talked about that on PBS. I just was curious. It's been a few years. What happened with that, and can people see that anywhere? It was such a good film.
Oh, yeah. No, you can still see it. Still streaming. It did a big North American run, but currently it's doing its international run, and it's done really well. It's been dubbed in various languages. It's kind of fun to see it in German. But you can still see it, and you know, you can find it online. So it's just The Field, 2019. But it's still running its course. And also one thing to thank you for that show is how much it got picked up or syndicated on various other PBS shows. That was really kind of a great way great thing for the film. So I really thank you for that, Pete. Oh,
please. You were a great guest, and it's a great movie. So happy to do it. And I would love to see more independent films made in Wisconsin. I think there are those of us that make them here because we love the state and we live here or whatever, but it would be great if the incentives came back and we encouraged even more of this. But I feel, Tate, like it has to start young. Like, you've got a young child. I've got kids. You've got to work that culture into them young, and I would love to see us become more of a state like that. So it's just a no-brainer that we have incentives and encourage other artists to come here, you know?
Yeah. Well, they're making the push now, and I've, in the past, like maybe about 10 years ago, worked with a lot of people, even with the Zucker Brothers in a way, to try to kind of push another push then, and eventually nothing happened. So I feel like the people who are doing it now, they really have a really good chance, and they've done the best work so far.
I hope so. So I got off on a tangent there. I want to keep the focus on the field because you cast Veronica Cartwright. Yeah. All right, so you're a director, you're well-respected, you're great at your craft, but it still must have been a little bit, not intimidating, but what were you thinking going into that film with this woman who has been in The Birds and Alien and, you know, I think she's the last shot of Invasion of the Body Snatchers, right? When Donald Sutherland, yeah. So what was that like?
It was amazing. Like, I always keep thinking about that famous shot in the original Alien, you know, where the thing comes out of the stomach.
Yeah.
The very next shot is her face, like with the blood splattered on it. And she's just so good at kind of screaming and like, even, you know, spitting up the cherry pits and witches of Eastwick. And so she's just amazing. So I was just really excited and happy. But we had a lot of conversations prior on the phone, and she was coming back from New York and was like, why should I go all the way back to LA? And then come right back to Wisconsin. So I'll just come early. And so she was, you know, great on the phone and willing to accommodate. And so I felt like, oh, I got really lucky. Not only like really a legend, but also someone who I felt like I could really work with and we could really collaborate.
Yeah. Was she hard to get the script to, or was she hard to find and get her to commit to the project?
No, I had, for my previous film, sorry about that. My previous film, I had met a casting agent through the distributor of Tri-Coast Pictures. And so I'd gone out to LA and kind of spent time with her, actually trying to do another film that I wanted to do. It was more of a political narrative, but it was just too big. And I'm a low budget filmmaker. And so I had to put it aside, but it'd been a while. I'd spent so much time trying to find money that I was like, I need to make a movie. And so I just, with what funds I had, or I'd already kind of was gearing up. So I shifted to this other film, which was The Field. So
it's a great film. You got a great cast. Your wife, Kara, is a great actor. Kara Mulrooney, she's in it. She's like, I almost want to equate her to a young Veronica Cartwright in the sense that she had a great scream too during the film. There's some great, some scary moments in it. And let's talk about Tate, like you talked about how you like to make independent films. What's the minimum? I mean, have some fun with this. What's the minimum amount you can raise to make a film that looks halfway decent? Like, you're a schooled guy. You know what you're doing. You've shot, you've directed. So it's probably different for a guy like you. But like, if someone came to you and said, I want to make a movie, how much do I need?
Yeah. So if you're just like saying, hey, I wrote this script and I just want to direct it and I need to hire the crew and put it all together, I would say like minimum, like bare minimum would be $250,000. If you wanted it to at least try to get, you know, some name in there and to have a real production value to it, which is, there's so many movies made today, like, You know, unless, you know, you're doing something different, right? Like, you think of like 100 Beavers or something like that, which, you know, that's a different process that's really worked out and it's been very successful. So, but you know, those are, you know, kind of unique films. So, but the industry is pretty much expects you to keep a certain production value.
Absolutely. What kind of movies do you like to eat? Do you watch with a critical eye? Can you enjoy a studio film to watch, or do you prefer independent films?
Oh, I like independent films. I don't watch any of the kind of Marvel kind of stuff. I think of those as kind of fast food, which can be fun,
right?
You know, but I'd like to get a nice, good gourmet film, and so my girls are now of age where I feel like I'm starting to actually watch movies again. So it's a good window there I haven't watched. So I have a lot of catching up to do, and it's been really nice. So I would say I'm a little bit behind the times right now.
My guest is Tate Bunker. He is a Milwaukee-based producer, director, cinematographer, and he is also a professor of film at UWM and a very talented guy. So, Tate, I want to ask you, what is your first love? Is it cinematography, or is it directing, or is it something else?
I'm a filmmaker, and I kind of, in a way, like you asked, if someone like has a budget and doesn't know that where I can make that film, I can take $250,000, I can make it look like $1 million, because I'm a different type of filmmaker where my background is experimental film, and so I do everything. I kind of write it, produce it. I don't want to produce it, but I sometimes have to. But directing and shooting is really where I'm at. But when I started, I just really wanted to make a movie. I had a story that I really wanted to tell, and I didn't know anybody. And so I it was like out in kind of the woods in Florida at the time. And I was like, oh, I found this Super 8 camera and started making films in high school. My friends thought it was really silly, but I only shot it Super 8 because no one else was going to film it. And so I kept filming it. And then when I finally got to go to film school, people kept asking me, Hey, will you shoot my film? And then I ended up people asked me shooting features, and I loved doing it, but I just didn't think like, I just was more focused on making a movie. And so sure. I don't know if that's a director. But as I kept going, I realized that like really at my heart, I'm a visual artist. And so being a cinematographer and making the image making of the movie, visual storytelling is really, really important to me. And so that's why I felt like the field it's like a kind of a paranormal love story, but it's unique. It's different. It's like really pretty. Yeah. It's really lovely to look at, which is kind of unique for a scary sort of movie, but it's there is some scares in there, but I just love, in a lot of my films, I just like making people feel a bit uncomfortable, a little edgy and not knowing what to do or expect. But all my films have a kind of art house sort of effect because I come from that experimental background. Yeah. And I teach in an experimental film school. But my newest film that I'm currently in post-production is actually a real change. I just felt like I had to wanting to reinvent myself. And so I'm working on a documentary, a feature length documentary.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, I'm excited to see that. Do you have influences like when it comes to, and I'm asking you about cinematography just because the field, you said it looked pretty, it did look gorgeous. I think you shot it in Manitowoc, in the Manitowoc area on this great farm, and it just looks stunning. Do you have cinematography influences?
Yeah, I mean, I have a ton of influences. I would say the biggest influence for me would be that kind of new wave period that hit all the globe with the faster film speeds and smaller cameras. And so that period to me is really exciting. But as much as I love tons of filmmakers, I always come back. I'm at my heart. I'm Stanley Kubrick. Is my largest influence. I can't seem to escape him in any way, and just how powerful like every image he has and how well it's constructed. Also, I'm a big fan of Tarkovsky, Andrei Tarkovsky, and so watching his films are very visual and kind of when I watch a movie, it's just those kind of old foreign films are the ones that Kurosawa, like watching those films were the ones that made me like, oh, I want to make movies. And I immediately was always wanting, I mean, my first couple of films that were obviously like these narratives that was influenced by Hollywood, but eventually I was like, oh, I like these really weirder forms of expression, but all my films are narrative and commercial.
Yeah. We have about a minute left, Tate. What's your favorite Kubrick film? Did you like Eyes Wide Shut?
No, I did, but there's parts of it that just felt like it wasn't finished. Like his movies, he makes huge decisions at the last second. Like he cut all the narration out of 2001, Space Odyssey. Mm. So that, that kind of moment didn't get to happen. And I feel it felt like, it just didn't feel like 100% his, but definitely there's scenes and moments that are like without a doubt Kubrick.
Yeah. Listen, buddy, this was fun. I'd love to have you come back on another time. I had all these questions about UWM too, but maybe next time you could come on and talk about what that film school is like, and we can get a plug in for that, because I think, but keep up the great work. I can't wait to see what you do next, and let's talk soon. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you so much, Peach, for having me on.
Anytime. That's Tate Bunker. Check out The Field, folks. Go on Roku and just, you can stream it. He also made another film called Little Red, which is very creepy. And Mark Metcalf from Animal House is in both of those films, and he is also a Milwaukee actor. And my pal Mark Borchardt is in The Field, and Mark is a terrific guy too. So Milwaukee strong, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to come right back and close this thing down. We've got a couple texts we've got to read, and then we got a song to close the show that just makes me feel great. That's coming up. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. I am Peach Wabba, your host for this evening's broadcast, which is dwindling, winding down. My weekend is about to start, Conrad. You are not taking a day off tomorrow. What does that mean? You just sit here and you look over here like I'm here and you pretend to produce, or what do you do?
Yeah, pretending to produce the whole time. Now, I'm actually producing Mine Own the Mayor tomorrow morning.
Oh, look at you. Todd Michaels has the day off?
Yeah, well, kind of. Yeah, but
do you think Todd's earned that?
I think he's well above deserved that. Yes, he has.
Last time I talked to him, he said he hasn't taken a day off in whatever, and I didn't. I was like, "You got to be joking!" Like
that's definitely a Todd line right there. Yeah.
On the stream, Dave says James Spader would be a celebrity he would see. He would hate to see pass, or it would make him sad. Yeah, that's an interesting one. He's had a great career. Susan from McFarland, who was trying to call earlier. Sorry about the phones, Susan. Conrad was talking to his grandmother long distance, and we couldn't take the call. Susan says, hi, you guys. I did try to call in earlier. I would say that I agree about Bruce Springsteen, but I also would like to mention Willie Nelson. Oh, Willie Nelson. That'll be a sad passing. Susan says, because he's the last of the highwaymen, and he has done so much for the farmers with his farm aid. And it's going back 40 years. No kidding. That's a great one, too, Susan. She says, great music tonight, and I always enjoy listening to your movie picks of the week. I have learned so much from you. Wow. Thank you very much, Susan. I really do appreciate you listening. This is much more fun when there's listeners, folks. So you guys are a big part of the show. Steady Eddie, he's in the 608. He sent a text message that I'm about to read on the radio. Pete, in honor of David Letterman, here is my top 10 list. Reduced to 6 because of time constraints. Celebrities I would miss and make me sad if they died tomorrow. Drum roll, please. Conrad, let's do that. There we go. I didn't even have to ask. He was ready. Number 6, Dick Van Dyke. He finally meets his maker at age 99, tripping over that stupid living room footstool like he did on the Dick Van Dyke show. Number 5, Bob Dylan. He's still with us. Wait, Dick Van Dyke is still with us. Right?
Yeah, no, he's
saying... Did he die? Said he finally meets his maker at age 99. I thought that meant maybe Steady Eddie had some inside info. He's a connected guy. Bob Dylan, he is still with us, but at almost 84, he's certainly knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Well done, Steady Eddie. Number 4, Paul Simon. Yeah. The nearer his final destination, the more he's slip sliding away. I see what you did there, buddy. Jack Nicholson, you're damn right. God ordered the code red. One of the movies I can never turn off, by the way. Number 2, James Taylor, going to Carolina one last time. Steady Eddie, his first celebrity he would miss the most if he passed away. Number 1, Paul McCartney gets to the end of the long and winding road. Steady Eddie, wearing the shades emoji tonight. P.S. Tonight's question made me a little sad, Pete, and on the Christmas Eve of weeknights. Thanks, Schwabba, in all caps. So, all right, a couple of our most faithful listeners, Conrad, are coming after me about the question.
You know, I was going to say something, but...
Well, your job as a producer, buddy, is to make sure I don't make a mistake.
Well, you know, I
don't
wanted
you to... ever!
No. I wanted to see you crash and burn. All right.
I knew something was up. I think it's a fun question, and you're professing your love for these people by saying this stuff. I mean, no one here gets out alive, so we're celebrating these people, and I think it's great. So, great text tonight, everybody. Very, lots of fun tonight. Fun show. Thank you to the, not the doctors in recital, the cure for cancer.
On stage
for cancer. Yeah. Great stuff. They are always fun. And thank you to Tate Bunker as well. Check out The Field. You can stream it. It's a scary movie set on a farm in Wisconsin. And who do we have? Tuesday night, we've got Rob Martin. He might be in studio. Rob just texted me and said he might drive up from Milwaukee.
That's awesome.
To be here. It's fantastic. And yeah. Rob, speaking of the Godfather of Green Bay, Rob played a hitman named Chuck Martinelli in the movie who plays my characters. Well, I don't want to say anything. If you haven't seen the movie, spoiler alert, but Rob was great. He auditioned, and we needed kind of a heavy, and we had another guy audition who was too scary for the hitman role. I know that sounds weird, but it was a comedy. And Rob also had that kind of vibe where he kind of looked like a tough guy, but he was funnier too. And he did a phenomenal job. And he created a yacht rock band that he had to quit because of an injury. And the yacht rock band has since moved to Las Vegas. But Rob is a great singer. He's an extremely talented guy. He might be here in person Tuesday, but he'll be on either way. And our pal Rob Paravonian will be on Tuesday. That's our next live show, by the way, at 6:35 too. So that'll be a fun show too. Yeah. Monday we are off. It'll be a best of show, but please still tune in.
Well, Monday actually is a big comedian show. All your buddies.
Well
Mike
done.
Mercury, Mike Siegel, Bill Leff, and Jim Pardo.
Some good laughs on Monday. That'll be great. All right. Thank you everybody for listening. Thank you for your text. Have a great, safe Memorial Day weekend. Con Man, have a great, safe Memorial Day weekend. No road trips. Just chill. And we're going to close the song with one of my all-time favorites. Have a great weekend, everybody. Good night, Wisconsin.
Ourselves. What? Think about it, you guys. What would Brian Boitano do? He'd figure out a way to rescue Terrence and Philip before they're executed.
We can't do anything. Our mom's organization is too strong.
Well, then we'll round up all the grounded kids in town and start our own organization. An organization to help save Terrence and Philip.
Hey, yeah, our own secret club.
I guess that could work.
We have to try. What would Brian Boitano do if he was here right now? He'd make a plan and he'd follow through. That's what Brian Boitano do.
When Brian Boitano was in the Olympics skating for the gold, he did 2 sow cows and a triple lutz while wearing a blindfold.
When Brian Boitano was in the Alps fighting grizzly bears, he used his magical fire breath and saved the maidens there. So what would Brian Boitano do if he were here today? I'm sure he'd kick an ass or two. That's what Brian Boitano do.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.